Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. I hope you're all doing well, wherever you are listening or watching the podcast, we appreciate you. On the show this time around, I've got Zach and Harry of El Muno. I would like to do a public apology to El Muno and to Zach and Harry, because I frequently, throughout this conversation, called them El Munio, and I think that is because of the band Il Nino, and that's where my head has gone when I've looked at that word. So I apologize, they are not related to Il Nino, they are El Muno. But yeah, this was a great conversation. If you're a fan of Nevermind Polly podcast, when it goes completely off piece, completely off the rails, and in the best possible way, it's a complete car crash, but it's great. It's great because it's a car crash, and it's not a car crash at the fault of Harry or Zach, it's completely me. But this is just sometimes press, and sometimes doing this podcast can get a little bit too serious and get a little bit po-faced. This is me and the boys just having a fun chat. There is multiple conversations about Marmite. It goes all over the shop. It's great, great fun. But you know what is also better than this podcast? A lot fucking better than this podcast. Their brand new record. It is called The Waking Sun. It is out everywhere as you listen to or watch this podcast. I've been sent it ahead of a release. It's genuinely fucking brilliant. Go and check it out. They are on tour as well across the UK this coming May. So go and do that. Go and buy tickets for that. Yeah, go and enjoy this conversation with El Muno. See you in a bit. Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And on this Bank Holiday Monday, we're doing work on Bank Holiday Monday. So yeah, props to you guys. I'm sat down with Zach and I'm sat down with Harry of El Muno. Is that how you say El Muno? Is that right? Because that's how it's written. So yeah.
El Muno, but El Muno, to be honest, it's a very serious name.
With serious blood.
Yeah, very, very serious.
Nice. So I kind of wanted to ask on this Bank Holiday Monday as we're recording this, how's your days been? How's life? How's everything going? All right?
Yeah. Matt and I were just chatting beforehand. Harry, how's your day been? So I know people don't know this.
Go on. I told you. Yeah. This is a professional setup, I promise.
Yeah, it's a bit rainy, isn't it? But that's all right.
It's Britain though, isn't it? That's the that's the problem. We're doing rain chat already. This is going to be a killer episode. let's talk about some music, because you guys have a debut record which is coming out on Friday, which is very exciting. So I don't know how to kind of phrase this. A debut record, right? That's like your firstborn. And I use this analogy all the fucking time. And I apologize to anyone who's previously listened to podcasts, but it's your firstborn. It's kind of everything you throw your love and passion, money, everything to. And you just, that's no longer yours. That's the world. How do you feel? What's the hype like at the moment for you guys? Are you kind of nervous? How's the anticipation of releasing your baby into the world?
So for me, I would say, so just to kind of give a bit of foresight, we recorded this back in January of last year. I know definitely some of the guys have been like this. I think we've gone through loving it, being like super proud of it, to hating it, to picking it apart. You got to remember as well, like these were demos for a good few years. Like Chains was recorded, like, well, not recorded, but written about 6 years ago, maybe seven. But there's like things like that where we've just like gone up and down, like picking it apart, and to the point of where it's already done. You can't touch it anymore. You're like, fuck. I can't really do much with it. But for me, this commencing week, I'm just excited. I'm just really, really excited because everyone's going to finally get to see it. We've just had a couple of reviews come back and absolutely glowing. Yeah, I'm really, really chuffed with it.
Yeah. How about you, Harry?
I think the firstborn analogy is very fitting, because it's sort of like, you know, for all the emotions that Zach said, is just like, you know, having a child, like, You know, sometimes it's tiring and knackering. It can be a little shit, but then also it's like a great joy to have made that. So I feel like Friday will be last day of big school. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's out into the world doing nice. The same thing. So yeah, excited for that.
So if you're not watching this on Spotify, which you should be because it does the video thing, not the Spotify, anyway, on YouTube, Zach's just done Cat Cam. We were talking about Cat Cam prior to the start of this conversation. So although, to be fair, mine's disappeared into the bedroom, which I am completely fine with because, like I say, normally he's a meowing little bugger. Anyway, doesn't matter.
Anyways, it's like a little spot under her when she's hiding, but she's like, I want to be in the room, just not next to you.
For sure, absolutely. So yeah, obviously the debut album coming out, I've heard it, and I mean this is the biggest compliment, right? This record took me a little while. I've only had it for a couple of days, but like it takes a little bit of work because initially on like, again, you know, I think genre is kind of a great thing for selling CDs and HMV. But apart from that, it's not much cop for anything else because they don't really exist. With the world of Spotify, I think you can just dive in and dive out to all these different genres. But when you look on paper, what you kind of list yourselves on Spotify and Facebook and things like that, it's kind of like, okay, cool. Like for fans of, I'm like, okay, cool. And then I listen to it and I'm like, right, that's not what I thought that kind of, do you know what I mean? So it took me a minute to kind of fully digest it. It's kind of like, and this is you can write this on your poster, it's a bit like eating a three-course meal. Like you have the first bite and it's like, it's not that I'm not sure about that, but it's a different texture, it's a different flavor. And then it's like, you keep eating it and you're like, oh, this is fucking good, man. This is fucking good. You can write that on there. Like a three-course meal, this is fucking good, man. You can write that on there. There you go. congrats, basically, because I hope this album genuinely does everything it should. And by what I mean by that is when bands and artists release good music into the world, it should make a splash, you know? But with a lot of content out in the world these days, often they don't maybe make a big splash. Like, it's not even a question. It's just basically me projecting, saying, I want this fucking album to do well and people to take note of it. That's why you're on the podcast. So I'm going to roll back that around to a question and ask, talk to me about the origins of this band. How did you all come together? How did you all meet? Just talk to me about the kind of the brief backstory of the band.
Well, we all met at uni in Brighton. So me and Zach were friends from back home before we came to Brighton, and Jamie and our original drummer Alfie were also mates from Hampshire. So it was two sets of friends originally. And then we got Chris in from another band that we used to tour with. So then, and then from there, that's sort of when we started to change our style to more what it is on like Temple and The Waking Sun as well. Because before we were quite mathy, a bit more proggy, and we just like stayed in drop D as well. We weren't as like low and slow.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely adding Chris into the band definitely changed our sound for the better, I think.
Absolutely. And for those of you listening just on audio, Zach has temporarily dropped out the call, so I'm just going to continue like he's there. He'll drop in a minute. He's just doing his own thing. It's all good. So you know what? He's literally, as I said that, he's just connecting his audio. So I'm just going to, there we go. And he's just like that. He's back in the room. Lovely old job. Zach, I was just saying you've done your diva thing of just sort of dropping in and out of the call. It's all good.
Mate, so I might be front man, but Harry's the fucking, he's the real deal. He's the big man of the show.
I love it. So kind of going on to kind of the early upbringings of the band and things, I wanted to know, where does your individual musical journeys begin? Because I love finding out where that kind of initial spark for music comes from. Because, you know, people who love film and things like that, some people are fully obsessed with it. And I like a Marvel movie. I don't mind a thriller or a horror, but I'm not like truly embedded in it like I am music. And bands are very much the same. So where was that kind of initial spark? Was it parents? Was it friends? And how did you kind of discover the thing? Music, that's pretty cool. I'm going to do that for, you know, as long as I can.
So speaking on behalf of the band, I know it's all going to be fucking sparse, to be honest. So Chris, I know you had an absolute massive love for Chili Peppers to start with. I know, my dad would be three artists. It'd be Chili's, Chili's, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Chili's, Prodigy, and Oasis. Which, how the fuck did it get to this? Nice. Ironically, I think this is a good segue as well. As soon as I started getting into heavier stuff at the time, at that age, it was more Foo Fighters, Queens of Stone Age. Started listening to Marmoset, started listening to Drenge, started listening to bands like that, of that caliber. And then Harry, when we started hanging out properly before we both went to uni, he started showing me more the likes of Soundgarden, even though I knew them beforehand, not like Harry knew them. But yeah, I think that's a good segue to Harry, to be fair.
Oh, nice. Yeah, well, my playlist, as Zach knows, is an absolute car crash. that raised on dad rock, pretty much. Aerosmith and Kiss, and all that from my dad. And then my mum sort of liked soul as well. And I don't really know how I got into heavy music. Probably Linkin Park or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then Zach said, all these 90s bands probably was when I started to be quite cool to be in a band Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, Nirvana, the Grunge Jedis, the Big Four.
Absolutely. I was going to say, I was kind of curious to know who was the atmosphere guy, and now I've discovered it's Harry. Harry's the one who brings the mood to the songs. I don't know if that's strictly the case, but you kind of, the way you've just talked about that, of saying cool, you've got a basic kind of the song structure, but it's cool, let's add some mood onto that. Let's make it kind of dark and kind of sexy, and let's mood it up. So Harry, are you the man for that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Hang on.
Yeah,
I'd say Jim does as well. They both counteract each other quite a lot, from a non-biased point of view. Sorry, Harry.
I think that's fair.
Which is why I think there's such a cacophony of fucking really beautiful sounding reverbs, and then you have kind of dissonant delay trails clashing, but it kind of works hauntingly beautiful. Yeah, that kind of aspect of it.
Absolutely. And so I wanted to talk as well, because this is the debut, and I don't want to put too much pressure on that, but the fact is, obviously, you released an EP, The Temple Corrupted, in 2022. Obviously, you kind of answered this a little bit at the beginning, but was these songs, how old are these songs in terms of, because that's the thing in my head, and again, I'm not a musician, so you'll have to forgive me, but it's kind of I heard Simon Neil of Biffy Clyro talk on a podcast a while back, and he basically said, when he's in writing mode, he's in full-on writing mode, and he'll just write a fucking shitload of stuff. And then when he's on quote-unquote tour mode, he'll just be like, right, that's that. We're going to park that bus, and now we're going to go and do all of this thing. How does that kind of work in the sense of kind of a writing perspective for you guys? Is it something you always kind of doing and always kind of writing, or is it a case of because that's the thing, creative roadblocks are a thing. Even with this podcast, it's me just talking shit into a microphone, chatting to boys like you. But it is kind of thing, I'll have this conversation really easily, but then I'll go and do the intro to it, and I will just fucking blank on everything. We'll have a good conversation. I'm like, I can't remember any of that fucking shit we've just talked about. Do you know what I mean? How old are these songs on this record? Were they written around the same time? Are they sort of new ones? Talk to me about that kind of process.
So I think the best way I can go around this, for Temple Corrupted, we were we already had a few song ideas kind of down. Force of Smile, Final X was kind of already kind of partially in its own ball zone. And then lockdown happened, and we were there was obviously a whole bunch of stuff that was coming up. There was a new different waves of depression. I think we were all kind of aware of more systemic issues within just society that obviously leads to this type of mental illness. Big Wealth how do I put it, big wealth divides. Like, there's a whole category, but that was much more systemic depression and like institutionalized, like, yeah, kind of morbidity, if that's a word. I'm not using English well. You can tell I've had a day at work. I'd say that's a good example. And we kind of did that as a body of work. And the reason I say it like this is because Chains and Screw Loose, which are on this album, were written before that EP.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Like, fully pledged songs that we have played live, like, sort of thing. But we were like, they don't, as much as they, so Chains is about, like, God, sorry, I'm really brain farting today. Is about toxic relationships, essentially, the toxicity with that, and kind of leaning into it because you don't know your self worth. Mm-hmm. And Screw Loose is about not having the medication, or they haven't been able to have therapy because it's too expensive, and leaning into like alcoholism, drugs, like kind of using that as like a tool. And it's supposed to be laughy, it's supposed to be jokey, but just slightly twisted, unhinged, like uncharacterful in that manner. And we were like, this doesn't suit what we're going for on Temple. Like, we don't feel like it's that home, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But we didn't necessarily make it a home. We just felt that this fit more, like, this album to us. And sorry, it's just, I'm chatting on a whole mile of shit, so sorry, Harry. But we feel like this is a much more personal endeavor of mental health, a much more vulnerable state, a much more exploring that kind of realm of process, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, that's fucking brilliant, to be honest. That although you probably feel like you've just spouted and you've just gone, it's like a big, but that, you know, people will understand what you mean. I understand what you mean, because, like you say, this record, when people hear it, it will make sense. And Harry, I'm going to throw it to you in a second, but I kind of want to ask a more general question as well, of just saying, how do you find, especially Zach being, you know, the vocalist, how do you find the fragility of, you know, your own kind of perception of like your mental health and your well-being and things like that, and projecting that into a song, which is, you know, the best fucking place. Art is the best place for anger and fucking all these horrible emotions we feel, because, you know, it could be just as easy to take it on a fucking wall or something and break your knuckles. Do you know what I mean? Because that's not going to get anyone anywhere. But if you project into a song, it's kind of like, okay, that's positive. But how do you then, do you worry about then projecting that onto a stage? Because, you know, like I say, some of these songs, I'm like, oh shit, man, that's like caught me and like, generally, that's touched me somewhere. Like, you know, being a man, I've been like, I'm, you know, toxic masculinity and all that shit. Do you know what I mean? So, oh shit, that's like, that's touched me, you know? So like, how is that?
Are you gonna do that one, Zach? Because of the,
I thought you were addressing to you, man.
Oh, I thought he was talking about sort of like the words, but
Oh, sorry, I must have missed. Wait, that was to Harry, right?
Oh, so I said I'm gonna throw to Harry in a minute because I just wanted to ask.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, you know, it's fine. You're good. To be honest, I thought I'd properly like, and he's like, "No, fuck this interview," and he's like, "Gonna end it there."
No, I'm with you. Right, so that level of vulnerability. So the best way I can put it is that all of these artists and bands, like, don't get me wrong, I have like songs that are sentimental value that would be like, I don't know, like, just because I'm thinking of Chili Peppers now, because I mentioned it to start with, like, Don't Forget Me. Like, that's not like a vulnerable, like, particular song that's out there, but adds semantic value. Whereas when I started listening to more like Radiohead, or even like a more recent example, like Chatpile, Ladispute, like those types of explorative kind of, not even necessarily vocal styles, they just wear their like genuinity on their sleeves, and having that level of catharticism, even God Complex. I know that's like a very much harder, like, I don't know what, I always get fucked up with these, but I think it's hardcore, metalcore, whatever the mix is. But
yeah,
like the level that I would connect with these fucking bands and those songs and those forms of artwork, like, it wasn't just genuinely out of them just writing the right, like, melody. It was because they were exploring that emotion. They were, like, delivering it because it was fucking genuine. And it was something that I've pretty much ever since I've cottoned on to that level of committing to, like, that emotion, exploring that level of catharticism, It's genuine. It's something that I'm quite an anxious person, and I've developed over time to be more social. But to have that level of connection with someone is probably like, it's almost addresses the elephant in the room to where people can feel like they can breathe easier. Like they, I don't know, like the amount of people I've had like come after a show and been like, how was that for you? And I'm like, I mean, I'm fucking knackered now. Like kind of pop, like blow it over. And then some people are like, yeah, I mean, it seemed like it was cathartic. Like, there was one at Cheltenham where I ended up crying on stage. I just fully just fucking like had a moment, and I don't know, I felt better for it. Like, I don't feel ashamed to wear these things on my sleeve. Like, my family and friends know like what I go through, and it's the same for the other boys as well. Like, it's not like it's just a fucking vanity project. Like, all these guys are going through hard times, and it's not been easy. So to have like this level of like conversation, and I appreciate it's intense, but I don't know, to get this level of like communication out there, it just feels like a weight off. Like, yeah, there's like two songs in particular off the album that do that for me as well every single time, and I can't fight that feeling, nor is it like one thing that I love hearing it from someone else. You know, I feel like I get that level of communication with them, that level of catharsis of them.
Absolutely. Did you want to add anything to that, Harry? Or?
Yeah. I mean, I guess when whether it's like a social, political commentary or like writing about something personal, I guess when people, you know, they hear Zach's lyrics that. And they assimilate that, and we obviously assimilate it as well. It's good to know that, you know, other people we're all on the same page, sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the thing as well. I think it's important, as you know, I don't know how you would describe yourselves, whether you're a band of brothers or, you know, your gang mates, or however you describe your collective as a group of individuals, but being all men as well, it's kind of important to be like, you know, just to check in. And, you know, I don't have very many like male friends, and that's not, you know, I never really got on with males better than females, but like I do have my friends. And I just realized I haven't like messaged them because life is busy, man. Your work is busy, podcast is busy. And I just like, how are you? Are you all good? And he was like, yeah, you know, I'm feeling it a little bit. And I was like, cool. Do you want to like go for a pint or something? He's like, yeah, that sounds good. Do you know what I mean? And it's kind of, it's that tiny little thing. There's like little building blocks to be like, you know, an arm reached out. It could mean the absolute world. And that's so fucking important, you know?
Yeah, I think there's a big explanation. This is kind of off topic, and I completely agree with what you're saying just before it sounds like I'm like, but actually, there's like things I've been reading up on more, like neurodivergent people, just about giving them space. There'll be like people that I was like kind of watching a reel earlier just about people with ADHD, and just be like, yeah, like there's a lot of relationships. I'm thinking about this, like one of my friends, like literally 24/7, like I absolutely adore him, basically want to be him, but we haven't spoken in the last 3 months. I'm gonna message him now. Like, message him literally on the reel. I'm like, cool. Yeah. And then gets a like message back in like in the same reel. And just like, oh, nice, sick. Like, yeah, he said he wants to go for a drink. Like, you can see like the genuine enlightenment in his head, but you can see his brain's like just on a different wavelength. And he's just like, yeah, but I don't like having to like connect with people in that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's yeah.
No, that's completely fair. I wanted to kind of touch on as well, to bring the lighter topics back around. I'll try and keep this as lighthearted as possible, but yeah, sometimes I dive.
Sorry,
it's completely me. I sometimes dive off the deep end. So yeah, if anyone is still listening, they've got a fucking tour they're going to go on, which is going to be sick. So go and do that. It's the Waking Sun headline tour. You are hitting the likes of Brighton, London, Liverpool, Edinburgh, Bristol, Birmingham, Cheltenham, Exeter, and you are heading to the Mangata Festival Rescue Rooms in Nottingham, who previous podcast guests, Hacktivists, are playing and headlining. So big up. Yeah, what's the kind of mood like ahead of tour? Now, I asked this question, that question, and also I ask, if I'm telling you that, you know, you're going on the 31st of May, your tour starts, fuck that, you're starting tomorrow. What's the one thing you're double checking your bag that you have not forgot, and you can't say your passport? That's the only exception, but it's got to be something, because people said to me, Oh, mustn't forget like headphones. So again, just have that kind of internal space away from your bandmates. Talk me through it. How's tour plan and prep coming along?
It's funny you mentioned the password, isn't it, Zach? It's funny that you mentioned the passport, eh?
Yeah. So on our first Europe tour, I forgot.
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
Sorry to dig you out like that. I didn't know. It wasn't my fault. I didn't know, man.
Shout out to Ray Folden and Apothecary. He drove down, bless him, to Dover more or less to drop me my passport. I ended up sending them like, I don't know, I was like, go with your partner. I'll give you like 50 quid or what. Just let me know how much the bill is. I'll just pay for it.
Amazing.
Bless him. He literally drove all the way down because I've just completely fucked it. I would take, the one thing I'm double checking is strings. I go through strings, you know what, surprisingly less, more recently. I go through strings a lot.
You used to shred for him, eh?
Yeah, it literally was one like, a show, like the bottom string.
A bottom string would last maybe 1.6 gigs on average.
That's pretty accurate, yeah. Yeah.
I love that. So yeah, kind of speaking about kind of tour prep and things like that, what can fans expect from these shows? You know, I mean, I personally have never managed to catch you guys live, but yeah, from what I've seen on the YouTubes and things like that, it looks like a pretty fucking fun time. But yeah, talk me through it without giving too many secrets away, if you've got any.
Well, we're very excited, and there's a bit of nervous as well. We're playing these new songs just because we went absolutely ape in the studio with all the extra little textural parts, and now we have to try and recreate that. So that'll be fun. But we got like a full rehearsal of that coming up, where we've got, you know, Chris has got SPDs, which is going to be exciting. Got some simps as well. If we pull it off, it will be biblical.
I was gonna say, so can we expect in a couple of years you're doing like the whole Bring Me the Horizon Jordan Fish thing and just adding like a Simps guy, like, because that would be fuck. In fact, I heard rumor on the street is he hasn't got much going on at the minute because, you know, so, you know, give him, he's a big fan of the show, you know, just he might be listening.
Yeah.
People take press way too seriously. Sorry.
Jordan, hit us up.
Yeah.
Do the things.
100%. So I've got a couple of final questions for you. And this is kind of the podcast. If you haven't already guessed, this is where the bottom completely falls out of the barrel. But essentially, I would like to know, gentlemen, if you could put together a 3-man bill, including yourselves, as a dream kind of festival or dream 3-man bill, who would you pick and why? You can have one each. One each, and obviously you guys. But it doesn't matter where you guys play. You could play at the top, you could play middle, or play bottom. But who are you picking? These other two bands on the bill.
So I'm being an idiot. So us and then three more, yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. I think it's safe to say the Deftones is one of them, right, Haz?
Yeah, that can be the one we share.
Yeah.
And then you
sure,
pick one works. And I pick one.
Cool.
I am going to go with, I think, Kylie Minogue, because she'll bring a lot of people.
Amazing.
Probably bring out Robbie Williams. They'll do Kids, maybe Nick Cave as well. It'll just be a good night.
Nice. How about you, Zach?
just to clarify, we're opening. There's no way I'm waiting anxiously that whole fucking day to miss this. I reckon. Oh, I don't know. It's too fucking difficult. I feel like there's so many bands that I want to like shout out and stuff. Like people, you know, it's a platform where I'm like, Knives are fucking sick. Like, go check them out. Death Goals are fucking wicked. But I'm Racket Cannon. I fucking miss them. I really want to see Racket Cannon again.
All right, so what's the order of El Nino, Racket Cannon, Deftones, and Kylie Minogue?
Look, I don't want to shit on your parade, but I think it should be us, Racket Cannon, Kylie Minogue, then Deftones.
Yeah, I think that's good.
You know what?
I thought you were so good at fight. Sorry.
You know, I was going to say, you know what, like the Kylie thing, it most people have gone, what? But you know what, mixed bills, like having a, you know, someone who isn't within the genre of the rest of the bands is actually really refreshing. There's nothing better than going to, you know, this is a pure deathcore gig, for example, right? And there's nothing wrong with deathcore. But, you know, after a certain quota of time, my brain at age 31 sort of goes, maybe I could do with, like, you know, just like a Taylor Swift break. Do you know what I mean? or insert big pop star here break. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, to be fair, like, you know, Knock Loose, they took out, what's the face called, in dinner, Sunbather in Full, which was, I thought it was like a perfect palate cleanser for like anyone who's too up and riggedy about like changing from genres, but like definitely not the same shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm absolutely, cool. I hate the word gagging, but I'm gagging to see Knock Loose again. What a fucking band.
Hard agree.
Yeah, there's not many bands that get me out of mosh pit retirement, but they would be one of them for sure. Hey, nice. If you're not watching YouTube, get on YouTube and watch it.
Sorry, I keep pointing at it.
It's all good. I've got so this question I've asked every single artist in 2023. I was going to sack it off in 2024, but then Rebecca, my wife-to-be, was like, no, you're talking to the boys, El Muno, fucking done it again, sorry. It's all good. So when the Spotify or Amazon or one of these big corporate companies buys this podcast from me, right, most normal people would reinvest it back in the podcast. Fuck that. I've done this for 4 fucking years. I've interviewed pretty much everyone I want to interview at this point who will talk to me. So what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to throw a big, massive festival, right? You guys are invited, along with all the other bands that are playing. It's going to be a lovely week long, I reckon, eclectic bill of all different genres and things. I've not had Kylie. She's not called me back, to be honest. I slid into the old DM. Believe me, if you could see my DMs on the Instagram page, fucking ridiculous. Some of the people I've tried to get on this podcast through DMs. But you know what? It has worked in the past. That's all I'm going to say. So the big, massive festival, and basically you guys are invited. So because we've got loads of lovely big Spotify, Amazon, I'm not picky about the brands, to be honest. We've got lots of money, basically, right? I would like to know what you would like to add to the rider of the festival for the rest of all the bands to use. Or you can use it for your personal use. You don't have to give share. It's fine. But to give you a bit of context in terms of what people have asked for, we had, and I'm so sorry to Beans on Toast because he totally fucked it. I said to him, you can have anything you want. He was like, I just want to play. And I'm like, you've not read the brief, but fine. If you just want to, you're already playing. You've completely squandered your genie chance, but it's fine. We've had that. We've had everyone saying, like, so Matt from August Burns Red said to me he wanted a full, like, monster truck rally setup, which I thought was a good shout. Mario from Blackout Problems kind of won this question, to be honest. He said, I would want free tickets for everyone who can't afford it. And I was like, I don't think there's a better answer than that, but I'm hoping you boys can come up with an answer. So you can be something really like insignificant and small, something really expensive, something really massive. What would you like to have? And because there's two, you can have one each.
Harry, you go first, mate. Go on, smash it out of the park.
I would quite like to, you know, you want your head in the game. So Wii Sports before, you know, to have a little play. Nice. Before
you know what? I was looking at you when you thought, you like, that is a man in the zone. He fucking knows what he wants.
and I would also like, in the green room, Survivor, playing Eye of the Tiger, extended, you know, version, while I'm, you know, smacking deuces, you know, 15 love, match points, nice. Boom, boom, yeah.
When you said Survivor, my first instinct went to Destiny's Child Survivor. Which, if we could do like a mashup of Destiny's Child Eye of the Tiger. In fact, you know what? I'm going to make this happen because we've got Pendulum have previously been on the show, so they can probably, Rob Swires can do some stuff with that. I'm sure he can make that happen. So there we go. We're going to have you guys playing Wii Sports while listening to a mashup of Eye of the Tiger and Destiny's Child. Zach, what would you like to add?
So in true tradition, I feel like the other guys would just be pissed off at me if I didn't say this, because I'm the one who always asks for it, is Marmite. I want the biggest fucking jar of Marmite anyone can find on this planet, and I want it.
Wow, that's a bold shout. Like, only because Marmite is such a divisive thing. Like,
oh yeah,
I would go as far as saying that Marmite might be the most divisive food. Like, there's not many people who bat either way for that thing. Like, at least I can think off the top of my head. Like, there's no like food substance where they're like, nah, fuck that, or they're like, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. In fact, have it on sliced bread. It's amazing. I mean,
there's no more like middle ground, really.
Oh, of course you fucking are. the reason why I'd want it, the second I'd say, it's not the top reason, the second reason I'd say is because I love Marmite. Mm-hmm. I really love Marmite. Number one reason, you know the Joker from Dark Knight, you know how he's just said, you just want to watch the world burn.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. I want the green room to just go fucking mayhem. I want people like, oh, I don't like it. Why? Who's bought the biggest tub of Marmite? Like, what's the point? You can't even eat this much Marmite. But, I mean, I can stock up. I can get a whole fucking load of Marmite. I've made my point. Yeah, love Marmite.
You know what? So I used to make the joke when I'd done this before and someone said anything animal related, I'm always like, oh no, better keep them away from the black metal bands because, you know, easy joke. Fucking, I was like, you know, I should grow up. I know, but it's now going to be you guys like, oh, stay away from the fucking Marmite lads, or specifically Zach, just stay because he's just going to be fucking smothering the walls in Marmite.
It's gonna turn
like
feral,
like a medieval catapult.
Yes, exactly.
Marmite people,
a you Marmite know, siege, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a quite famous I believe that it's happened somewhere in Spain where they throw tomatoes. There's like a big parade. It's like, you know, that kind of thing. I know is really what I mean. I don't know what that's called. But just that, but it was with Marmite. Just a full, like, Marmite slinging contest.
Yeah. Like, you can even water Marmite down and use, like, I don't know, like hot water balloon. Jesus. So I'm thinking, like, how to get the consistency down. But you could do, like, water balloons of Marmite.
Yeah.
You know what? You could like, wallpaper fucking your house with Marmite. Like, you got a hole in your wall, fucking put Marmite in. I think, you know what I've discovered, I'm going to start to wrap this podcast up, but what I was thinking, at the ripe old age of 31, I like food, clearly I'm a fat bastard, but it's usually, the thing I don't like about food is the texture of some foods, right? So like, I love like orange juice, cannot fucking stand the texture of an orange, don't know why, it's just the way it punch it and it's like squirts your mouth fucking rank, do you know what I mean? So I think if I can get past the texture of a Marmite, I might enjoy it. In fact, that's what I'm going to get.
The
Marmite.
Orange thing is, if you dunk it in Marmite, you don't really notice, like, you know, the weird skinny thing on the top. So you just, because it's just all Marmite.
Yeah. I think, and again, I apologize if anyone's listening and is easily triggered. I don't know what the right word is. But essentially, I think when I bite on an orange, it reminds me of like when you pop a pimple. That's where my head, that's where I think the association in my head has gone. And like, I'm eating, okay. I'm like, it's literally just there. I'm even gagging thinking about it. Gonna move on. Gonna wrap this podcast up. Gentlemen, I'm gonna ask you one final question. It's the last question I'll ask this podcast. It's the question I've asked every single artist who's been gracious enough to give me their time. Can't believe this podcast has gone this long. We talked that long about Marmite. But what I want to know is, what is the best thing about being in the band for you guys both personally?
I mean, you can kind of guess what mine's going to be, I'd imagine. But do you want to go first, Haz?
I like all aspects, but I think definitely playing live with my boys is just one of the best feelings. So yeah, I like, nice. Like tours and stuff going, especially with those three, they make it very easy to go out and play the rock tunes, you know.
Love
yeah,
that.
Definitely playing live for me.
Zach, if you say Marmite, I swear to God, I will fucking lose it, mate. I will actually just fully just like have a meltdown and cry and just.
Yeah, he's not allowed Marmite at home, so that's why he loves Tord as well. He puts it on all the riders.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah, definitely scratches the itch. I'm stuck, to be honest. It'll be between recording. Because, yeah, that's just a whole different weight off my shoulders, which I just fucking love. And you just get to be a weird, like, we're a weird, like, four bunch of people. So getting us in a room together, and then Sam as well, our producer, who can also give him a couple of coffees, and he also just gets a, maybe even a little bit weirder, who knows. And I fucking love being creative in that manner, because it's funny, it's cathartic, etc. I'm not going to go down that whole fucking spiel again. But playing live is, yeah, connecting with that many people in that manner with those boys is fucking special.
I love it. Anything that we need to plug, anything we need to promote, anything I've forgotten, anything we want to talk about at the very end of the podcast to wrap things up?
We are releasing our fucking album on the 10th of May. It's on Friday. Listen to that shit. Nah, well,
hang on a minute. Sorry, I have these buttons and I never fucking use them, so I just want to. Sorry, carry on.
No. Can you do DJ? Do you got that one?
I've got. Hang on. So, the new album is out on Friday. Yeah, I love that. Love that. If someone tells a joke, I've got. That's pretty fun.
Album's out on Friday.
Yeah. Oh. Imagine if I picked the wrong one. Fuck yeah. Sorry, the album's out on Friday, Zach. Carry on.
Yeah, album's out on Friday, 10th of May. If you haven't been watching this podcast already or it's out before then, make sure you put it in your calendar, your cat's calendar, your cat scans calendar. You need to listen to it, do those things, watch the videos, listen to it how you want to listen to it. Come to see us between the 31st of May and the, I want to say, 8th or 9th of June? Yeah, Matt's already said the date, so if you're paying attention.
I've got the 8th of June. It's all good.
We have got more exciting shit coming out, but yeah, go buy some merch. We've just dropped a whole bunch. We've got our own coffee. We've got herb grinders, basil, thyme. You can grind things like that, and that's fun. For black seeds. Shout out Jamie's mum.
That almost sounded like a diss, but I'm sure it wasn't.
It wasn't.
Just the way you said it was just like, it's just, to be honest, it's because I work in a pub and everything people say, I just take as banter at this point. And I'm just like, sorry, can't help it.
I don't know what else to plug. I think that's more or less it. There's a whole bunch of other bands that we play with who we fucking love. If you like us, go check them out.
Yeah, Harry,
save me.
I'm gonna throw to you, mate.
if anyone's in the London area, if you pre-order an album, vinyl or CD, we're doing a little in-store and banquet.
Amazing, nice.
On Friday, little stripped-down versions of all the songs that we've been working on, which is groovy, isn't it, Zach?
Oh, groovy. That's what I would say. I fucking love groovy.
Gravy.
Oh, mate, to be fair, Marmite and gravy is definitely a fucking winner.
I've started having Yorkshire puddings as like a snack, you know, not as part of.
I back that. I back that so hard.
Shout out Harry's mum.
Absolutely.
Because she's a snack. Sorry.
Right, okay. I don't know. I feel like I'm in the band, but I'm not in the band. Is that a lot? Okay, I'm just gonna let that slide.
Sorry,
I love it. It's all good. Thank you so much, gents. This has been a fucking car crash and a riot, but in the best possible way, because sometimes this podcast can get way too fucking serious for its own good. So this is a nice, refreshing kind of breather in that respect. Gents, thank you so much for this. This has been a fucking pleasure. I hope the album does everything it should, as I said at the start, because it's a fucking brilliant album. And I hope to catch you boys on the road very, very soon. Thank you for your time. And just, yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your time, dude. Honestly, thank you so much.
Awesome stuff. We'll see you all soon, people. Peace and love.